I've sang so many different approaches to music. And even though all of these are covers, this is the most personal record I've ever done.
Everybody, it's Mike Jeff for Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. And today, I always say there's special episodes, but this is really an exciting episode. Tammy McCann is joining us, and she has a brand new recording out, Do I Move You? And she's got a release show coming up at Winter's Jazz Club, March 21st. Of course, 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. are the shows over there, wintersjazzclub.com. So I'm happy that we could actually connect here before the show, because I wanted to make sure all of our viewers, listeners, and watchers can all check out the show and get this new recording. Tammy, congratulations, and it is great to see you again virtually. Hopefully I will see you on the 21st, but it's good to see you right now. How are you, and congratulations.
I'm just fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. This is really an exciting time.
It is. We talked a little bit about your show that you did a couple of months ago, but this, I think you hinted that this was coming out, but we didn't get into this. So I'm happy we're talking about this. So it's a brand new recording, Do I Move You? And, you know, it really, in the liner notes, it talks about how it really kind of brings all of you out together. And it's kind of like an emotional thing as well, right? Because in the liner notes, you talk about kind of a healing process with this. And we're talking about the pandemic and some other factors as well. So let's just talk about how the process started of putting this recording together, because you must have been planning it during the pandemic and maybe even before that.
You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because we were just talking a second ago about how this time last year, I was really ideating around this. It's been really 2.5, 3 years in the making. And during COVID, musicians got the opportunity to, I think, go inside and really reflect. At least I did, really reflect on not only who I was, but the type of music that I wanted to create. And as I explored all the different facets of my career and of my voice, I found that I would always keep them kind of sequestered, right? There's my gospel that many people don't even know that I do. Right. There's the jazz, there's the classical, and I would always keep them separated. And what I realized is that what my real marinade is a mix of all of those things. And so if you give at the first listen, some people might not even recognize that it's me singing, because they're used to a completely different sound. But this is one of the most personal records that I've ever done. And this is my sixth record, as a matter of fact. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. But the music, each song has its own particular meaning, not just for me, but I think for the listener.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the pandemic, because we got inundated with new projects right after the world started opening back up.
Yeah.
And as I've talked to different artists over the past year and a half, as I got this show back up and running and we're doing this again, you know, it there's so much great creativity that came out of the pandemic, if there's one plus side of the whole thing. But yeah. I think you raised a great point, is that, you know, all of the working musicians, myself included, right? I mean, you're going from one thing to another, to another, to another. You got 12 projects going and everything else. When everything stopped, not that it was a great thing, but it really almost gave everybody a pause and allowed them to get inside themselves, where they couldn't really just sit and let things marinate and really understand what's going on inside. And I think that changed a lot of artists. And I think maybe that's how what you're describing, right? I mean, it really kind of, you brought everything out in this recording. And the first lesson I listened to, and I've known you, obviously, and I've heard you sing a lot of different genres, but I hear Tammy McCann coming out in this recording more than I have in other recordings.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel that too. I really feel that too. And I think the thing that, you know, I've been singing since I was a young girl, and, you know, scholarship to college, classical voice. And I've sang so many different approaches to music. And even though all of these are covers, this is the most personal record I've ever done. I feel goosebumps when I listen to these stories. A perfect example is like Grandma's Hands. You know, this is a well-worn Bill Withers standard, mm-hmm. but it takes such a different tone after COVID. Think of all the grandmothers that we lost, that unconditional love that's like no one else, right? And that's what I heard. I heard my grandmother, you know, calling me Sugar Lump. You know, I heard, you know, and it's so much more closer as you observe and you see people's pain. And, you know, you just want to give them some healing, some upliftment. And each song is just a little piece of that reconnecting. I felt like emotionally, we were in this emotional sequester yeah. for almost 2 years, you know? We couldn't see our friends, our families, and our loved ones. It actually even hurried up relationships. You're like, well, I like you, you like me, we're about to be separated, why don't we move in together? I mean, there were all of these hurry yeah. up, you know, things that happened. And so in this record, I wanted people to feel again and break away from that emotional sequester. So if there's a sense of hope, there's a sense of love, a little bit of lust, a little, you know, there's a little bit of everything that makes you feel something in this record.
You know, the thing that struck me too is listening to these tunes. First of all, you had a couple of great collaborators on this recording, right?
I really did. And
John Clayton, the great John Clayton, the great Fareed Hawk. And you're doing different reimagined versions of these things, but it sounds like that was the way that it was helped you really tell the story the most in your own voice because Absolutely. Of the way these are recorded or the way these are arranged and done. Is that the way you guys approached things?
Absolutely. Starting with my brother Fareed Hawk, he got down really in the, I don't want to call it muck, but he really got in the pot with me, you know? And because as I'm exploring this music and making these musical choices, and then as a producer, he's sharing with me how he hears me vocally, right? How he, you know, what his vision is. And so us going back and forth and needing, you know, these arrangements, really, really so passionate about it, and such a great collaborator. Perfect example is, what is that song? Blackbird.
Yeah.
So Blackbird is a particular, it's a particular feeling. It's actually a duet of songs. There's Nina Simone's Blackbird, and then there's Paul McCartney's Blackbird. And so Blackbird came out of, a song that I wrote called My Black Son, which is going to be on an upcoming Rhyme Fest recording. But that song I wrote because of Mark, because of George Floyd and the other young men that we've lost to that type of violence and oppressive violence. And that song I'd never heard it before. And when I listened to the story, you know, why you want to fly? You ain't never going to fly. And this feeling of how my community feels this oppression, this sense of doubt, this lack of belief in you and your abilities, in the promise of your future. Mm-hmm. And, but then there's McCartney, who I think many people don't know. He wrote that song as he was watching the dogs and fire hoses being set on African-Americans in America. And he was like, what on earth? And he said, it was his little prayer for us. And so then you go into Blackbird singing in the dead of night. take these broken wings and learn to fly. And I felt like it was important to have, you know, this may be how they see us, but this is our reality, right? And so Fareed got that. And he understood every ounce of the stories that I was trying to tell. And he really worked hard to give me the musical backdrop and the setting to tell those stories.
Well, I mean, he's an incredible musician, obviously, and arranger in his own right, but also he's just a genuine guy. And he's somebody that's just down to earth with all of his accomplishments, you know, but yes. You can just talk to him. There's no like barrier up. It's like as if you just met the guy and you've been friends for 20 years. And I think that, you know, when you find a collaborator, especially a producer like that, you know, when you hear the really good recordings, you have that artist and then you have that producer that can say things to the artist, but they're on the same wavelength. So they're really just continuing to grow and create even, you know, a better product of what they both know what they want the end product to be, because they're both on the same wavelength, right? I mean, that's how it's so important to get such a great producer who's like-minded, right? Because it just helps the artist really.
Yes, absolutely. And then also you get to the point to where you finish each other's musical sentences, you know, and that he knows what I'm looking for. And then Mr. Clayton who's been my mentor for, gosh, I think we met in 2012. And he just came in and just put this placid spirit over everything and tied all the bows and dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And, you know, vocally, I just wanted some extra ears on my vocals. You know, I know that's his masterwork is working with vocalists and different arrangements. And so like on Canaan Land, it's so interesting. We were in the studio, and if you listen to the song, there's a part at the end where I said, it's on my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way. And I go, whoa, because we went on a break in the studio and we came back and he changed the arrangement. he altered the chord changes, and I was like, and it was so fire. I was like, whoa. And so we went back and forth. He was like, no, we got to keep that. But well, he's the maestro. Absolutely.
He's, you know, obviously played and produced and worked with some of the most incredible vocalists. So, I mean, but that's why it's so important to get just like-minded people in a studio that can have, that aren't just like a hired guy to come in and say, and you have no connection to him and no relationship to him. And I think that you can do that, but I really think the best products come out of people that work together, know each other, and have the same idea of where the end goal is going. And then all the creativity goes, and it just makes your work just shine even more. And it does on this recording. So Do I Move You is the name of the recording. Of course, we should send everybody over to TammyMcCann.com, and it's available everywhere. You can pick it up anywhere, but TammyMcCann.com. Tammy, why don't you tell me, because we were talking about this before. Now you're not doing a sales pitch. I'm making you do a sales pitch. So talk a little bit about what they do. If they come to your website, they get actually a bonus track and a signed CD, right?
Yeah. If you come to my website to buy Do I Move You, you will get an autographed CD. If you buy the CD, and if you want to do a digital download, there is a bonus track that you can only get at TammyMcCann.com.
There you go. And also you can keep up with Tammy. So I encourage everybody to sign up for the newsletter and all that, because she's got some exciting shows coming up. But the one show that we're talking about here immediately coming up is March 21st, of course, at Winters Jazz Club, 465 McClurg Court in Chicago, wintersjazzclub.com. By the way, I like to tell everybody about the parking situation there. There's a valet. It's not Scott's. It's not Winters, but there is a valet now. So you can pull up, tell them you're going to Winters, and they'll take care of your car. You walk right in. We can't make it any easier than that. Of course, 7:30 p.m., 9:30 p.m. Reservations and tickets in advance are highly recommended. So let's talk a little bit about who's in the band on this. I know Fareed's going to be on this, I saw. So that's exciting. So who else is performing with you?
Well, I want to start by sending a shout out to Scott at Winters and tell you how much I just love him to pieces. He is such a wonderful supporter and lover of this music. Excuse me. The way that he creates a space that rises up to greet the musician with the sound, with the lighting, with the dressing room. I mean, it all ties together to make for a wonderful musical experience for back of the house, not just front of the house. I'll say that. Also, with all of these world-class musicians, it's hard to get schedules together. Fareed is going to be 2 days after this show. Fareed's going to Europe. Cahill's going to Togo. Cahill Elzebar is, I think he's going to Togo. And so just trying to organize all these amazing musicians, I came up with this date. So this is the magic hour, but where am I going to have it? Scott is opening for me. He's closed on Tuesdays.
Right.
So ladies and gentlemen, this is something really special. He's extended himself to me in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And so please come out and support live music, support Scott. We've got Tom Viatsis on piano. We've got John Sutton on bass, Samuel Jewell on drums. Justin Dillard is on B3. And of course, Cahill Elzebar on percussion and Fareed Haque on guitar. One quick thing I wanted to share about serendipity and the feeling that this music was really meant to be. So we're in the mix, we're mixing now. The record is recorded. We're mixing, we're editing, and we're having a conversation about one of the songs and kind of going back and forth about what the feel of it is. And I said, you know, what I feel is, you know, I grew up in Mississippi. And then we moved to Chicago, and down this rock road, there was this juke joint, you know, this bar. Yep. And you could feel the walls vibrating, and you would think, you know, there's all this music. What it was one man with a guitar and stomping his foot, you know, like this, right? And I was like, it's that sound that I was missing. And I immediately thought of Cahill Elzebar. So I called him and I said, now we're done. And I said, by any chance, are you in town? Might you be available to come in? And I sent him the music. And so that was on Grandma's Hands. And I said, but you know what? I have this other song that I really hear you on, Blackbird, Nina Simone's Blackbird. Mm-hmm. And he started laughing. And I was like, have you ever heard of that song? And he was like, Tammy, I played on that song. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, I performed that with Nina Simone. I was like, what are you? Now, mind you, nobody had thought of this man. Nobody had said his name. I mean, it just felt anointed. It really felt meant to be the entire process. It's Do I Move You? It's really moved me. And I just hope it moves everybody else.
Well, I encourage everybody to go check it out, because I think after hearing Tammy talk about this recording, you're going to want to go check it out. But also hearing it live and in person is going to be something completely different. So Winters Jazz Club, March 21st, 7:30 p.m., 9:30 p.m. Get the tickets in advance, wintersjazzclub.com. Everything's linked up down below as always. And Tammy, congratulations on this recording. Do I Move You, Tammy McCann? This is going to be great. And you've got the whole summer coming up that I'm sure we're going to talk again at some point, because you're going to have a lot of other things happening. But this is going to be exciting, March 21st. So congratulations, Tammy. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. You have a great night.
Oh, you too. And of course, I'd like to thank everybody for watching, because as I always say, all things Chicago Jazz is at chicagojazz.com. And until next time, I will see you all somewhere out on the scene.